Wrestle Buddies, GameSpot's wrestling podcast filled with wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. I'm 40 over 40, your host, Matt Alfring. With me, as always, is the lovely Chris Hainer. Chris, hi.
Wow, Matt, it's almost as if you couldn't figure out what to say. Yes, I am your co-host, Chris Hainer. Join the Dark Order. JoinDarkOrder.com. We passed the century mark. Welcome to episode 119, baby.
That's right. We go from episode 100 to 119. Episodes 101 through 118, you can just kiss off.
Yeah, we give no Fs.
Fs not given.
We're fresh out of Fs.
We need to buy some more Fs. I can't spell my last name without it.
Let's go to the F store.
Hey, get the F out.
Oh, are we WWE circa whenever they change their name?
Yeah, we're still Wrestle Buddies, but I'm Matt Elring now.
Matt Elring. I'm still Christopher, yeah. Because it's a PH.
Yeah.
That's nice. You should change your last name to ELPHRING.
I'm Matt Elden Ring.
I mean, that's how we get hits.
Yeah, that's how you get the hits.
That's how we drive traffic to the pod.
Yeah, like, I mean, you might be in a new story on GameSpot.com right now reading this, and you're reading it because Elden Ring was in the headline.
That's right. Oh my God, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elden Ring.
It said Elden Ring and Adam Cole, and you're like, I know both of those things and love them.
Elden Ring, baby.
Elden, Adam Cole, Ring, baby. Hey, Big Time Bex is a character on a wrestling program. We have a wonderful. Wonderful episode for you today, Chris. We have a tantalizing menu of one item. Can you tell us about it?
I sure can't. Matt, as you know, in our world, it's all about the boom. It's all about the boom.
It's all about the budge.
It's all about the budge. So we like talking to Adam Cole. I believe this is his third time on this show. He's in the Three Timers Club. It's him and Keisha. We got to get them both smoking jackets.
Yep.
And this time we emailed AAW and said, hey, we want to talk to Adam Cole, but only about video games. We don't care. But like wrestling is lame. None of us like wrestling. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. There are some great wrestling podcasts out there that give you the inside scoop on what's going on. And by the way, if you're listening to this show, that's not why you're listening to us, because we have never given the inside scoop on anything.
That's not true, Matt. Remember when we accidentally sort of semi-trended after the Cody Rhodes interview?
Oh yeah, when Cody Rhodes said he workshopped
his promos, and then
people took the term workshop literal, and that's not what he meant if you just listen to it.
It's a whole thing.
That's how you twist words in journalism.
Ta-da.
We don't do that
anyway. We talk about things we find entertaining, and as it turns out, we love video games. Adam Cole loves video games. We love Adam Cole, and Adam Cole seems to like appearing on our podcast. So we had him on, and we just talked about video games for close to an hour, I think.
Yeah, it was 54 minutes before the cut. We'll see what...
54 minutes before the cut. Nothing's going to get cut, because we need every single time we ask him if he's played Little Nemo the Dream Master yet.
So... You know what? Let's explain that. That came from, when did that come?
That was that like, I know when it started for me.
Yeah.
And it was when we interviewed him at, I think we interviewed him at the 2K event. No, it had to have been before that. No, it might have been
the 2K event was like the fourth time we had asked him at that point.
All I know is when I was a kid on the Nintendo Entertainment System, Little Nemo the Dream Master was my favorite video game. Mm-hmm. And it's still in my top 5 or 10, I would say.
It's one of my favorites too.
It's fantastic. So we just started when we got talking to Adam about video games. We asked him about Little Nemo the Dream Master. He had not heard of it, but also he's younger than we are.
Yeah.
He's not old man Matter Chris aged. Mm-hmm. He's not in his 40s. So he was post NES. Generation. Yes.
Okay. So here's from my recollection. Here's what happened. This started before the podcast existed.
Yes.
About a year before the podcast existed. I landed an interview with Adam Cole for the very first time, through when he was at NXT.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to talk to him about gaming. As did Chris. Chris and I worked on the questions together, I'm pretty sure, because that's just.
And I will say, Matt, I feel like I've been cheating on you. I've been asking people in interviews who like video games about Little Nemo the Dream Master my entire writing career.
I mean, but this is very much a Wrestle Buddies thing with us. Yes. And Adam Cole. But so Adam Cole loves retro gaming. This is something that something I hit upon with him years ago. We just talked about retro gaming for a while. And one of the biggest retro games that Chris and I both love is Little Nemo Dream Master. So we just started. That was the opening question of that first interview.
Have you played Little Nemo the Dream Master on the Nintendo?
And
the answer was no.
It was no. And that was, I think, 4 years ago.
And he promised us that he would.
And I keep him every
time we talk to him.
It's the opening question. First
things we bring up. And it'll be, as you'll hear in a moment, it's the first thing we bring up in this episode. And gets brought up a couple of times, I think, throughout the episode. He has not played it yet. I'm just going to spoil it. He has not played it yet. He says he's going to, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, look, you don't want to listen to us talk about talking to Adam Cole.
No, you don't. The only thing wrestling related that we talk about is his Halo gear, and that's really, really cool. So enjoy that. And I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of behind the scenes planning for this interview that that never happened. So here's Adam Cole, baby. Adam, welcome to Wrestle Buddies. I'm just kicking it off.
Yeah.
Welcome. I should say welcome back. I think you've been on twice before.
I have. Right? And it's always been such a pleasure, by the way. So the
you're
second
such
I heard,
a pleasure. Take that.
Yeah. In your face.
Phoenix Wright.
I'll take it.
So we're chit-chatting about the wonderful world of video gaming. You're obviously your video gaming guy. Aside from the party, you stream on the Twitches. You obviously love Halo because AEW Revolution, you had the Spartan inspired gear.
I was at that show, I have to say, because I relocated to Florida late last year, and so I was able to come to that show, and that was so fun.
Thank you.
Man, God.
Yeah, so that gear actually has been like up in my head for a really long time. Like, I wanted to do something Halo inspired, or honestly video game inspired as well, but definitely Halo because it's such an important series to me. And okay. I was like, oh man, there's no better time to do it than this championship main event match at Revolution, my first pay-per-view main event with AEW, which is really cool. So I was like, hey, I have a time to do it. Let's do it.
Now, I'm going to ask you a controversial question.
Ooh.
Are you watching the Halo show?
I am.
What
and
do you think?
But I will be honest though, I am not completely caught up.
Okay.
So I desperately need to get caught up on, I think episode 4.
Episode 4 is
five this week.
Is this week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, five is this week, right?
You're right.
Okay. Yeah. So I need to watch the last two episodes because just stuff has been so crazy. But I will say this, based on the first two episodes I've seen, I really enjoy it.
It's fun.
I know some people have been critical of it, and I understand that because Halo is such a, I don't want to say sensitive, but important thing to so many people, me included. So I actually really enjoy what they've done with like humanizing the characters and the story in a lot of ways. I think if someone who has no idea what Halo is watches this show, they could easily follow along and get invested in the characters, which I think was a cool move. And it's just a different take on the Halo universe in a lot of ways, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I appreciate that right out of the box. They're like, this is not the timeline, you know.
Yes.
Things aren't going to work exactly like they do in the games, because honestly, if this was pre like the first game, that's not as fun to me because you're in this box where you can't really stretch outside of it.
Right.
Instead, we're getting to do weird things. We're getting to do different, like it's just, and sometimes it's just even little things like, God, episode 3, I think, is when you finally properly get to see Cortana like in action. And like, it's like, I'm into it. I'm just into it.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, I've really, really enjoyed that. You know, the one thing at the very beginning, and hopefully this is not spoilers because it's episode 1, but just in case when
turn away when, now
right when Chief takes his helmet off,
yeah,
that was like, at first I didn't even know how to feel. I was like,
no,
oh, whoa. Okay, that maybe was too far. You know, I was very like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this episode one. But then I thought about it. And like I said, watching the story unfold, it's so much easier to process when you go, this is not a step-by-step recreation of the games and the universe there. And if you just appreciate it for what it is and you get to see these characters in a different life or a different light, I think it's a blast. I think it's really, really fun.
That's super important, at least to me. Like, I came from comic book journalism, now more about the old game spots. And I've seen so many comic book movies where it's like, feels like beat by beat the comics that I've read. And I don't want that anymore personally.
Did you know that Batman's parents are dead?
Wait. Don't tell me the pearls dropped in Crime Alley.
The pearls dropped in Crime. Joe Chill. What a son of a bitch, this Joe Chill.
Next thing you're going to tell me that Harvey Dent's going to get some acid thrown in his face.
Oh, no. Yeah.
What?
Spoilers, guys, from a comic that's 40 years old.
Or Christopher Nolan's just going to burn him real bad. Like, real bad.
Hey, have you played Little Nemo Dream Master for NES yet? This has been something that we've talked about for five years.
Greatest game ever.
I have not, and I'm ashamed. And there has got to be a point where we get together and chat, you know, once every 6 months, once a year, and I'll be able to tell you guys, not only have I played it, but I've beaten it. That's what I've got to be.
I've never done that.
Good. I'm good for future you.
Well, I just beat Millennia in Elden Ring, so I feel like I can take it.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I can do it.
Man, okay. How much has Elden Ring overthrown your life? Because I'm scared to try it. I'm horrified.
It has ruined me.
Oh, no.
In the best way possible. But it's like, so I'm only, and I say only, but I'm only like 92 hours into the game.
That's all right.
Video games.
Oh my God. It is so on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thechugs.
That's right.
I normally have a cycle of games that I play where it'll be like, you know, I'm going through Halo and then Dark Souls was on there, Zelda. Mm-hmm. I'll play like independent game, like I'm playing Ender Lilies right now too, the old school Resident Evil games. But Elden Ring came out and I was like, okay, I have to stream this the first day. It's the only time, I think I'm on part 23 or part 24 of Elden Ring. And I cannot play anything else. It's one of those games where if I'm not playing Elden Ring, I'm thinking about Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. Last night I went to bed and I was just thinking about the fact that I hit this hidden wall and there was this whole other world that I didn't even know existed. And how many different hidden walls are there? What kind of mini bosses are going to be at this place? It is the most, I do think for top to bottom, it might be the greatest video game ever made.
Wow.
Really? It is so, now it's a Dark Souls game. So if you don't like Dark Souls,
you're not going to have
not
a good time.
Enjoy this. But if so, it's like the coolest thing too, has been, there've been a lot of friends of mine who maybe tried Dark Souls and they weren't really into it or they couldn't get past a certain point. So they just gave up. In Elden Ring, the beautiful thing is there's just so many places to go, so many different things to explore, different weapons, different builds. Like every person that I've talked to has had a different experience, even in the first hour of the game. So it's incredible. I absolutely love it.
It sounds like the best game for the worst part of my brain, where I did, cause like I have this problem with every open, I love open world games as just in general, they're fantastic. However, I can never stay on task. Mm-hmm. Like it takes me so long to get through a Fallout game because I'm like, no, I have to go talk to every NPC in Megaton. Like I have to. Like, otherwise, what's the point of this game? Someone wrote dialogue for all these people. I need to know what they're up to.
The best part about what you just said is actually Fallout 4 was the first proper open world game that I finished.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first open world games I ever played. Mm-hmm. And because I had no experience with open world, it overwhelmed me so much that I didn't think I liked them. I was like, I don't think I like open world. I think I like to be told exactly what to do, where to go. I don't like the fact that I could do 10 other side missions and also build this sanctuary for all the NPCs that I've rescued. Like there was so much. And you know what else really wrecked me was because I have massive OCD with wanting to pick everything up. Mm-hmm. I was over encumbered immediately.
All the time. I need this army of tin cans. Right. What am I gonna do? What if I get to a mission where they're like, we need 300 tin cans? Mm-hmm. I got you. This is what I was built for.
And with Fallout, you might run into that quest. Like, there's been quests that weird in the Fallout games.
Right.
I found a raggedy old teddy bear in one town, and the person in the next town over needed it for some reason.
And then you gotta collect all the metal and make your shanty town.
Right.
I forgot about the shanty towns. That was a weird fun mechanic. Build an engine that will run everything in your town.
Sure. That was too much. I own Witcher 3 on four different consoles. I have never beaten the game. I put at least 100 hours into every one. All I do is play Gwent. That's it. Gwent and I explore.
Oh, Matt, I got bad news for you. I think Gwent is a standalone game now. I don't like it.
Oh.
I think what I miss is like getting on Roach and traveling to another town to talk to a bartender to play Gwent.
I love how Witcher has turned into a 100-hour epic of a card game that you hate.
No, the standalone Gwent game, for some reason, I just don't like.
Because there's no plot to it.
No, yeah. Like it's the journey up to the mountain that I enjoy the most, which is riding Roach through the countryside. Right.
Witcher 3 is, I'm serious, before Elden Ring, mm-hmm. I would say Witcher 3, top to bottom, was the greatest video game I've ever played. I mean,
my Link to the Past loving heart is hurting at these words.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm saying what I believe is the greatest, because I have actually two. I have a favorite, and then what I think is the greatest game. Yeah. And Link to the Past is a great, oh my God, talk about an epic game.
That was the first time I remember getting truly sucked in. Like we had Nintendo growing up and whatnot, but like I remember when I had the Super Nintendo and got Link to the Past, I was like, I just want to see every inch of this world.
Yep. Ugh. Unbelievable.
So wait, what's your favorite then?
So, okay. So I'll try not to ramble too long.
Oh, if that's
okay. Going off of video game history, because I wanted to preface it with, I was a casual gamer from as early as I can remember. Like my first memory of my entire life, like not of gaming, of my entire life, was I was 3 years old and I got up really early and I ran downstairs and I saw that my dad had stayed up all night to play Road Rash on the Sega Genesis.
Ooh.
And he got the Diablo bike. So the best bike you can get in the game. And I couldn't believe it. And at the time, the CRT TVs with the colors weren't like as crisp. So I was like, oh my God, Dad, you got the black bike. Oh, that's so, but it's really dark blue. It's not even black color. So that was such an early memory. The Sega Genesis being the first console we had, playing Streets of Rage 2 and Sonic 2. And again, we had an SNES, a PlayStation, N64, all that stuff. But very early in my life, I got bit by the pro wrestling bug. So from 9 years old on, it was pro wrestling 24/7. Loved video games. They were so much fun. But if it came down to like playing a game or watching WrestleMania 17 for the 400th time, I'm watching WrestleMania 17. So
I mean, which one was Mania 17?
Rock Austin 2
in
the Astrodome where man. Austin turned heel.
Yeah.
But long story short, again, to fast forward, I'm sorry to ramble, but in 2015, I had been wrestling for quite some time and I realized I had no hobbies. It was just wrestling 24/7. And one day Halo 5 came out and I lived with my brother at the time and he came home with Halo and I'm like, oh my God, there's a fifth Halo already. That's crazy. I remember playing Halo when we were in high school. And I said to him, I was like, hey, do you care if I play on your Xbox and play this Halo 5 game? He goes, yeah, sure. I stayed up till 8 a.m. And beat the entire campaign. And I'm like, this is really fun. Then I played some of the multiplayer again the next day. This is really fun. You know what? I'm going to buy an Xbox. So I bought a Halo 5 edition Xbox One. And that, for real, the rest is history.
That's like, amazing.
So it's seriously, Halo 5 is my favorite game of all time. It's the game I put so much time into as far as the multiplayer goes. The reason I'm saying that is just because of how important it is to me and my love of gaming. Like the fact that I have a Twitch is because of that game. And then, of course, again, playing stuff like you know, Dark Souls 3, Borderlands 2, Witcher 3, Red Dead 2, like all of these epic journeys. I don't know if I would have done them without that game. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Well, oddly enough, it was Halo 3 that sort of brought me back to game and made me go, but like I had like a PS2, but I use it mostly to play SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
And then like, I was like, I'm just going to stop buying video game consoles. And then a friend like got me to try Halo 3. I was like, oh damn it.
Yep.
And I was I legit was like, I don't have enough money to buy an Xbox 360 right now, but I can finance one from Dell. Because Dell was selling Xboxes at the time. And you know what? That's worth
great.
It.
Right.
Worth it.
So worth it.
What a good series of games.
Amazing. I love them so much. Love them.
Yeah. So like Halo 1, I think it was Halo 1, came out when I was in college.
Okay.
And what we would do is at my buddy's dorm, whatever, there was three different rooms and we'd all bring our Xboxes over and like link it up LAN party style.
LAN party. Yep. Yes.
Yep. 12 people playing like Blood Gulch is like my best memories of any video game.
Oh, Mike, it was the best. I remember at one point we were so into Halo CE that remember Xbox Kinect, like the really, the really dodgy online server where it would be the glitchiest experience ever. And we were just beaming the entire time, like just getting killed or getting kills. And again, it's like 2 frames per minute, but oh my God, it was so much fun.
Jesus.
So much fun.
It's really weird to think about how far online gaming has come in a very short amount of time.
Unbelievable.
Like as it goes, and this is where I show my inner teenager every night, me and my friends back in California are playing Fortnite together and also voice chatting through Discord and watching movies all at the same time. And you can do that and not drop a single frame.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It makes me think though, even with talking about frames and graphics and stuff like that, like I remember with the PlayStation 1 and like seeing Metal Gear Solid for the first time and being like, it's not going to top. Like nothing's ever going to be better than this. This is the greatest graphics I've ever seen. And the way that they keep developing now with the, like, I'm lucky enough where with the Series X and the PS5, I have a TV that can do 4K 120 FPS, which is bonkers. Even 5 years from now, not even 10, what is going to happen? Like, what kind of games are we going to get? What kind of graphics, what kind of frames per second are we going to get? Like,
it get better?
Yeah.
Everything yeah, how is, does it get everything better? Is going to look like full motion video, but it's not. Oh, and that's going to freak me out, man.
It's going to freak me out.
Full motion video.
That's why I'm definitely scared of, like, look, I understand why people love VR. Like, I think the Oculus is super, super cool. The PSVR, super cool. Like, they're very cool. But like, I'm horrified that we're all going to end up in Ready Player One.
I know.
And as much as I want to drive like a DeLorean or the Ghostbusters car, like Ecto-1 around a virtual world, I don't want to do it while living in a sky-high trailer, like in like a weird tent city. Like that sounds terrible.
Right. I would be sad though if the day, and I don't think it ever will, but the day that like the controller goes away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is all VR. I don't think it ever will. I think there's always a place for couch co-op or sitting there and just wanting to use a controller to play a game versus like being immersed in it. Cause I love VR, but I can only play for like 45 minutes
before you got to get a headache. You got to stop. Yeah,
then I start feeling, there was one time I made the mistake of with me and DeParty with Breeze, Swiss and Creed. Mm-hmm. We were all filming something to play Medal of Honor Frontlines in VR.
Oh, geez.
And I had a migraine all morning. And I felt a little bit better. It had been like an hour and I'm like, no, I can play. And at one point I have this VR headset on and we're playing and Swiss is like, Chugs, come on. You got to help me. You got to move. And I couldn't move. Cause I was like, Swiss, if I move, I'm going to throw up everywhere. Cause that post migraine feeling of like, ooh, this is going to be tough to play. But VR is amazing.
I also have to say like, of all the VR to play, like I just remember one of my first modern VR experiences was
It was the first Oculus. They did like an early trial at an E3 that I somehow lucked my way into, and it was Alien Isolation, where you're just being chased around by a xenomorph.
No,
that's bad. That is scary. But the next experience I had was Job Simulator, where you're literally just working the counter at a convenience store. I was like, this is my speed. Medal of Honor, though, holy cow. Like, I don't want to be surrounded by that ever.
Yeah, it's intense. My favorite VR experience for sure, as far as like how cool I think it feels. And it's a little bit more relaxing, I guess, depending on how you play it. But Beat Saber is
just
try that.
The coolest. Yeah. Like you're there in what feels like this real dome, and just these awesome songs. And it's like DDR times 10. That's how it feels to me anyway. You have lightsabers in your hands. It's so cool.
And then someone's taking a video of you just doing this.
Yeah, right. Right. Me there, just Britt comes home. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, playing Beat Saber.
I'm rocking out. Come on.
Right. Leave me alone.
This is so cool.
This is what cool people do. You don't know.
but horror games, I don't think I can do. Because I played, what was it called? Willow's Heart, maybe? Or Wilson's Heart? It's one of those. But it was like this horror game that literally, so far from what I played, which was like 30 minutes, nothing has happened. It's all mental anticipation of like something scary happening. And I'm like, I can't do it. Nope, I'm good.
I played a bit of Seven, the Resident Evil they released on VR a few years back.
Yes, it was Seven.
I could not make it very far because I was just like, I can't. Nope. I don't like people running at me. I don't like zombies running at me. I don't like any of this. I'm just gonna go play Super Mario in another room.
Yes,
I'll be cool. Like everybody's happy there. I'm just jumping on turtles. Like that's great. Oh God. I don't want to be scared of the game. Honestly, I think that's why we like Matt as well. We default back to wrestling games so much.
Yeah.
Like this is great. We can just create our own people and do our own thing. And none of it's terrifying or too action packed. And it's very relaxing.
Well, that's the other thing too, is there are like, I love horror games, but specifically, like I love the Resident Evil series top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like RE2 Remake is one of the best games ever made. The original RE2 was my favorite until Remake came out. Mm-hmm. But like, there's something about that game where I'm okay. Like I know there could be times where I'm startled or I jump or whatever, but Resident Evil never like messes with me. However, a game like Emily Wants to Play or like Outlast, where I have no weapons and I'm just vulnerable, I can't do it. I'm like, I'm good. I'll watch you play it. But I don't know if I want to play it.
I distinctly remember the first time I played a quote survival horror game, and it was like, we drop you in with nothing. If you're lucky, you'll find a stick. And I'm like, that's terrible. Like, what am I supposed to do here? This doesn't make sense.
We used to have Fatal Frame parties in college where it'd be like 13 dudes in a house, just like one at a time playing. And then as soon as you got jump scared, like you had to pass it off. And that happened so much. We were all babies too.
That's great. I remember Fatal Frame was a game that me and my younger brother rented when we were younger because we loved Resident Evil. And Fatal Frame was like too scary for us. Mm-hmm. But again, it was still that like classic PS1 style survival horror, only you didn't have weapons or anything. But I remember playing Resident Evil 2 for the first time, and that very beginning portion where the truck falls over and there's the fire and the zombies, it took us days to figure out that you could go in the gun shop. We were like, where do we go? Because we had never played Resident Evil 1 or a survival horror at all. We would run around, kill every zombie, or like not kill, and be like, where do we go? Can we get in this car? Can we get in this car and drive off? When we eventually, by mistake, figured out that like we just hit X and then we went into a door, we were so shocked. We couldn't believe it.
There wasn't as much hand-holding back then in video games,
yes,
like the opening tutorials.
Right.
But again, that's why I don't like things like Bloodborne or Souls games, because like I need a little hand-holding personally.
Sure.
I'm getting old. I got my kid with me. I don't have time to think.
Right. Right.
I just know I'm going to end up playing Elden Ring eventually, and it's going
to
ruin my life, and I'm not going to know what to do. And it's going to be a constant, just me texting people like, okay, so like I'm at the spire and I don't know what to do next.
Yep. There's a feeling of, and I've been very lucky in that I've managed to avoid a lot of spoilers for the game, but I'm actually so sad that, because I think I'm pretty close to the end, and the idea of not being able to experience it for the first time again is such a bummer. It is the most compact open world with so much to discover. I like the amount of times I've walked to a certain area or picked up an item or met an NPC where my jaw was literally, you know, on the floor. My mouth was open so many times. And I'm still discovering stuff. Like I know I'm 92 hours in, and just yesterday I found this whole new area that I had never seen before. And I'm like, oh my God, it's one of the most amazing, if not the most amazing open worlds ever. Like it's to me, it's up there with Breath of the Wild's open world. Like it's, oh, wow. It is unbelievable.
Now you're selling me on it and I don't want.
Well, it's a journey.
Aren't there also like multiple endings to the game? Like from what I understand, there's like a bunch of different ways the game can end.
So far there's 6 discovered endings. And people are still finding more. Like I think recently a 7th was found, but this game is so bizarre in that I guarantee you 5 years from now, people are going to find something that no one knew about, you Perfect. Know, which is absolutely like, again, the guy who broke open the wall after hitting it 50 times. Did you see that?
No.
Okay. So there are hidden walls in the Souls series.
Okay.
And this one guy went into this one area and he showed this video, and it, instead of it being like a 1 slash and you're through, this guy hit this wall 50 times and then it disappeared. So people were like, wait, what? There's hidden walls with like health now. So, and then everyone was like, this has got to be a fake video. And then they went and did it and it actually worked. So now everyone is hitting every wall. Like every time I play, there's always another online player. I could just see his ghost and just hitting every single wall, trying to see if this is a hidden wall or if this is a hidden area. But it's, my God, it's such an amazing game. Such an amazing game.
So, okay. So obviously Elden Ring's the big one. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you're still working. I'm assuming you're still playing Halo Infinite because
yes.
Are you like, did I read correctly that they're introducing a battle royale mode to Infinite?
I had heard this is a possibility or something along the lines of that, at least with this new season update, at least it seems like they might be going that route, which is very, very interesting. I think it could, and anything. So I think Infinite, as far as its multiplayer goes, plays wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Like I like how they've still managed to keep a little bit of a faster pace, but it still is slowed down to like classic Halo in some ways.
Yeah.
The guns sound great. They sound really cool. But yes, I did hear of the possibility of them doing like a Battle Royale-esque mode. And I also really hope they bring back. So they do have Super Fiesta where you spawn randomly with different weapons. Mm-hmm. But in Halo 5, there were like 110 different guns. So it made it so awesome to be like, what am I going to get? What's going to show up? So I really hope they make some more modifications of the guns that you start with or can start with, because Fiesta is just so much. You could start with a rocket launcher and a sword or a plasma pistol and a plasma rifle. Like it all depends. So,
but
the new season, there's like new cosmetic stuff coming out. There's like a new arena map and then a new big team battle map as well. And then also this new battle pass and the new potential gameplay mode of like a battle royale-esque thing for Halo, which could be cool.
Now, obviously, we all come from sort of an era of video games where it's like you play the game is done. You wait for the sequel comes out. That's just not the way it works anymore. How are you liking the seasons? Because like I feel like I'm slowly getting used to it, but it's weird to be like Halo Infinite is going to be the Halo game we have for a very long time.
Yes. Yes. I am also still getting used to it because there is like this exciting time, I think, for gamers like us where you'd play a game for a couple years and then you'd wait for the new one.
Yeah.
And it'd be like this whole brand new experience and the anticipation of watching the trailer for the first time and all that stuff was such a cool feeling. So, but I do get and understand the idea of picking a game and then committing to that one and building on that one, mm-hmm. especially when people put like so much time and effort into said game. So yeah, I don't, it's definitely different, but the crazy thing is I'm actually kind of glad at this point that they're doing that, because there's so many new games that come out all the time. So if it was like, if it was like a new Halo every 2 years, in addition to a new God of War, new Spider-Man, new Final Fantasy, new Resident Evil, I feel like it would almost be too overwhelming. So I actually kind of like them building on
that's true
on a certain game. But I don't know. It's definitely, I'm just happy because I am such a Halo fan that so many new people have decided to pick up Infinite again or Halo again. So, that part's been really fun.
Thanks, Game Pass.
Yeah.
I mean, right? That was day one. Like I wouldn't have played it without Game Pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just too many games.
There's so many, like
In Game Pass though, like I open up Game Pass, every time I open up Game Pass, there's like 10 new games. I'm like,
yeah,
look, most of these I don't want to play, but they're here and they're free. So I feel kind of obligated to try them. That's how I ended up playing European Truck Simulator because it was free one day. And I was like, this isn't my thing, but like I can honk the horn and I can drop off deliveries and like that's cool, I guess.
I've been I've been traveling so much the past few weeks. I've been really enjoying Kirby Forgotten Land, the new Kirby game.
I want to play that so bad. My son wants to play it too.
It's awesome. It's very, very fun. Like, not, I don't want to say mindless, but there's like a bunch of collectibles you can get. It's not too difficult. It's really, really fun. And I've been playing it I'm normally not a mid console generation buyer. Like I'll just wait until, like, for example, I had an Xbox One. I didn't get an Xbox One X. I waited for the Series X, but I did upgrade, or I got for Christmas this past year, the Switch OLED.
Ooh,
I'm thinking it's about a beaut. That one.
She pretty? Oh, damn.
If you play mostly in docked mode, I understand it not being something that maybe you want to invest in, but I play 99% of the time in handheld mode. It is beautiful. Like, oh, a noticeable difference for sure.
So I'm a handheld player because,
yeah,
I mean, when you're flying on planes, I'm going to be on plane. We're in exactly. Our hotel room, Chris.
Yeah,
exactly.
For this past time.
Oh, do either of you guys have the Steam Deck yet?
I was actually just going to ask you about this because but I'm definitely neither. like from what I understand, like I think a couple people on the GameSpot team ended up with them and they sound amazing. But I don't understand how exactly it works. It doesn't make sense that I could play in theory all these like heavy lift games on something this big,
right?
It doesn't make sense to me.
I know it blows my mind, the idea, because I've watched videos and stuff of, again, people playing say Elden Ring or Doom Eternal or The Witcher 3 or Control and all these
on something
games
that looks like a Game Gear.
Yeah, it's like bizarre. I'm like, this thing has to sound so loud and it has to die in 30 minutes. But apparently no. Like I pre-ordered mine. I'm so excited to get it. It's like you said, my brain can't process it yet.
Most of what I play on Steam is like old school, like point and click adventure.
Oh,
so I don't think those work on that.
Oh,
I really? Can't find like a real list
of
like games that will work on That's the issue.
And
I know
that
a lot
is
of the
true.
Point clicks don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Like you can move the cursor around with like the D-pad or whatever.
Yeah. And I remember two little trackpads as well.
Oh,
side. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I just think, remember when they like remastered Monkey Island for the Xbox 360. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, but it worked and it was great.
It was so good.
It was perfect.
It's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I cannot wait for that console. I'm fingers crossed. I check every single day. I check my email just to see, like,
just waiting for it.
please send me that notification. Because I also heard that you only have a certain amount of time to like respond when your queue in line shows up.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I'm so paranoid. Like, my biggest fear is, I don't know. This is a horrible example because I'm not going on vacation anytime soon, but I'm on vacation. I don't check my email for 3 days and I come back and I lose my spot in the Steam Deck lineup. But it's going to be so cool.
October 2022 right now. That's when
That's so far.
The next ones are expected.
I was quarter two, or as of now, I'm still quarter two 2022.
So May. So I heard yeah. May.
May or June. Yeah. Okay. So pretty close, guys. Pretty close. Which means the next time we talk, hopefully we all have our Steam decks.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Allows me to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very interested in how I'm going to swing this and make it happen, but let me try. So obviously you're up to date on the consoles. Like, do you still go back and play? Like, do you still go back and play on the older consoles?
Oh my God, yeah.
I say this as since October, I've been in a continuous state of like setting up my office, and I have like the NES, the N64, the PS2. I have all these things that I still need to hook up to the TV because yep. I know I'm going to want to play them at some point.
Right. So I absolutely am someone who likes to go back and play retro stuff. But now one of the coolest things with like the Switch is they've added all these classic games now on the Switch, which has been awesome. So lots of times I will go and do that. But like, for example, my 3DS XL has turned into this SNES machine. My PS Vita has become like a PS1 machine, where I really use most of my space to like add these old classic games. Like I recently 100%ed Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation Vita, just because it's so convenient to be able to get on a plane and go, okay, I'm going to be on here for 4 hours or whatever, so let me just play this. But yeah, God, like,
so good.
To this day, I probably once every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll play like a few levels of Super Mario World. Like
it's so good.
It's so amazing. So amazing. Oh, yeah. One of the coolest gifts that Britt actually got me was there is this guy made seriously a handheld N64. And what I mean by that is it's literally a system. So like you need the cartridge and you plug the cartridge back into this handheld and it's the exact controller layout and you play the actual game. So it's not an emulator or anything. It's like a legit handheld N64. That thing has been really fun too.
Okay, I'd like one of those.
Yeah, it's amazing. I wish I had it right here so I could show you guys, but
I'll just Google handheld N64.
Yeah, you know? They exist. Like they exist. Cow, and they are amazing.
Wow.
Might be a little tough to travel with all the cartridges and stuff, but if you have one like game, you
that's really what the carry-on is for, Adam.
Yes. Yes.
Find an old like cassette holder. Traveling cassette holder.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Oh God, the possibilities are endless and wonderful.
I know, unbelievable.
I found a place that allowed me to check what games that I own are compatible with Steam. Steam Deck. I'm gonna get a Steam Deck.
There you go.
I mean, it's got all the Monkey Islands, City Skylines, and Civ 5. That's all I need. I'm good.
Nice. I really want to, speaking of, and I hope that this is somewhat, I think this is a point and click, but Disco Elysium, I have not played that yet.
It's kind of a point and click.
Yeah. Is it kind of a point? Okay. I hear, have you guys played that? Is that really good?
No, we gave it a 10 though, or GameSpot gave it a 10.
GameSpot gave it a 10 3 years
ago. That's, I thought so.
I believe, is it on Game Pass now? I could have sworn.
Yes.
It popped up on Game Pass because I might've downloaded it.
I actually have it on Switch. Downloaded, ready to go.
Wow, Nintendo. I love Nintendo to death. I love my Switch to death, even though it's primarily become an Animal Crossing machine.
Hey, great choice.
But I will say, like, obviously, we all know that Nintendo's—they're not aiming to be the super graphics powerhouse machines. But
right.
I love the indie game possibilities are just
over the moon,
but that it can also run stuff like Disco Elysium.
Exactly. Like the fact that to this day, it still blows my mind. Like The Witcher 3 is on
Switch. The Witcher 3 is on Switch. And
what?
It looks good.
It does look
it's
good.
It's not like a crappy port. Like,
right.
Amazing.
It does crash a bit, but
yeah. So it's not like it is on Xbox or PlayStation, but the fact that I can even get on Roach and like run through White Orchard as Geralt, it is just so absolutely insane to me. It's the console is so much fun. And I do like we had said, like PlayStation and Xbox, they kind of compete with like graphics, you know, frame rate, all that stuff, these big AAA titles. And Switch has huge AAA titles in their own right. But like you said, the indies on there as well. Like I played Hollow Knight for the first time on Switch. I played Dead Cells for the first time. Axiom Verge, like The Messenger, Cyber Shadow. Like there's so many Shovel Knight, so many awesome games that I probably wouldn't have played had it not been for the fact that Switch has them on their console and I can play them while I travel. So
it's just fun. And now, like we were actually talking about it before you joined in, like Matt and I are like, we're ready for Switch Sports. I've been waiting for a successor to Wii Sports for way too long.
I know.
I want to bowl. I want to play tennis. I want to do it all.
Yes.
Golfing. Yes. I don't care. And I'm not going to buy like I don't know who the famous golfer is now's golf game. Like I'm not going to buy
fighting golf.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm not going to buy that, but I'm going to buy Switch Sports and it's going to be amazing. Like I also have Ring Fit Adventure.
Ring is fun.
That's a weird fun game. That like seemingly has no point, but it's still fun.
You got to help old Olmec with running in place.
You're right.
Oh my God. As we're sort of winding down, like what's coming that you're excited about?
God of War Ragnarok, whenever that does end up dropping. This game is already out, but I've only played it once since it's been out, since again Elden Ring has consumed a lot of my time. But Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, I'm very excited to play more of.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Borderlands fan.
Borderlands is so good.
It's amazing. It's absolutely, and funny enough is I played the first Borderlands and I liked it, but I was like, I didn't understand. And this is a shame because it wasn't until 2 where I realized it. But at the first one, I was like, oh, this was really fun, but I don't know if it's one of my favorites. And then I played Borderlands 2 and I was like, oh, I get it. I get it now. Like Handsome Jack is the greatest video game villain.
Yeah, he's perfect. Ever.
He's amazing.
He's just so handsome.
What a handsome guy.
He's just a good looking dude.
So I still handsome. Don't get it. I knew before Borderlands 2. I played one. I don't get it.
It's
not for me. We'll call it that.
Fair enough.
It's such a, well, it's also a very odd combination of things. Like it's a shooter, but it's also kind of like it's an RPG.
An RPG.
It has a really weird sense of humor that's right up my alley.
Yep, me
too. And you know, Claptrap is in it, and that makes everything better.
Right. I am excited to play some more Tiny Tina, and then also, I mean, I don't have a good feeling about it, but Breath of the Wild 2. Also, I'm very excited about.
It's a game that will supposedly come out one day.
It's Nintendo. They'll put it out and they're going to make sure it's nice and polished and not rush it out.
I can't believe I forgot. So I kind of blocked it out of my memory because I just want to be super surprised. But Silksong, the sequel to Hollow Knight, I'm very excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm hoping this year. And if not, Team Cherry is like such a small team, and Hollow Knight is one of it's the best Metroidvania of all time, Hollow Knight. They can take all the time that they need, but I am I'm so excited for that game.
It's a good time
after the Cyberpunk issue, the WWE 2K19 issue, delay all the games until they're ready. I can patiently wait, please.
There is plenty to play. I totally agree. The whole like, I hope that feeling of, oh shoot, we have this. And I understand like with publishers and all that stuff, it's a different scenario, but like that whole feeling of, oh my God, we need to get this game out because we said it was going to be available at this time and we don't want to disappoint anybody. Disappoint us with a delay all you want.
I'd rather be disappointed by the game.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what, like I bought Cyberpunk when it came out.
Same.
And now everyone's like, it's fixed. I'm like, that's great. I'm not going back. Like, I can't do it. Like, I got so excited to play this game, and then it was a wildly disappointing experience.
Right. What platform did you play it on?
I played it on Xbox One, like a real tough guy.
Okay. No, that's... So, because I was very fortunate, I played on Series X.
Oh, nice.
And I really maybe had 2 crashes, like, the entire time. And even the crashes were, like, so minimal and so rare. So, I was very lucky. But again, I've heard the horror stories about it on Xbox One and PS4 and all
that stuff. It was on PS4 and it was
Yeah.
Unplayable is fun.
Unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was before I got a PC to game on, and it was before I upgraded to PS5. Since then, everything is so much better. But yeah. I will also say it was also like a weirdly hollow experience, because the promise of Cyberpunk was this huge immersive world where like I can go talk to people and do things. And it felt very, very surface level. It was fine.
It's so interesting you say that, because I was just talking about this the other day with Cyberpunk. For me, it took like a certain point in the main story where then I started caring about the side quests, which was really weird. Like, I can't explain it. It's the only time I've ever had this experience with an open world game where I was doing the main quest and then I would do some side quests and I was like, not feeling it. I'm just going to stick to the main story. And then something happens in the story where it like grabbed me with the characters in the world, and then I wanted to go back and do a bunch of side stuff. So that was a very interesting experience. I ended up loving the game. Okay. But it took me I don't want to say forced myself to play, but I was like, I'm going to keep playing through this game. This game, I love CD Projekt Red. At some point, hopefully it grabs me, and it did. It did. It just happened much later.
Good.
Yeah.
The game I'm most waiting for, I know this is very important to you, Adam, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Hey,
that
looks great.
That's my childhood in a nutshell. Like just a 2D beat 'em, like Streets of Rage 4 when that came out a couple years back. Like, but like I've put like 80 hours into that.
So good.
But like, I want to play it in a cabinet. I want to play it in a cabinet so bad.
I'll
make you a cabinet,
Chris. I'll use my woodman techniques. I don't have it, but I'll get some.
Like, well, and that's where I sort of like have to be annoyed by the way Arcade 1-Up handles these things. They make fun cabinets. I like my NBA Jam, but like, how do you release two Ninja Turtles cabinets that just have the same two games on them? Like, there's a brand new one coming out. Make a deal. Give somebody money
on there, man.
Oh my god,
that would be amazing.
Get them all on there.
Yeah, get them all on there.
But also, didn't they just release like the Cowabunga collection or something?
I was gonna say, with like 14
every Ninja Turtle game.
Yep. I don't think that is out. Is that out yet?
I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, it's not.
Super duper want that.
Oh, if it's out right when we're done, I'm gonna order that.
According to
Amazon
says it'll get here in January of next year. So I'm guessing it's not out. Oh, it's not released until December 31st. Get out of here.
What?
It's on Switch. I like that.
What about PS4? When does it come out on PS4?
Yes.
January 2nd of next year.
Okay.
Man, so we got a ways to go.
Man, I really thought it was going to be out now.
They did a full-blown trailer for that.
Well, they did.
Do that for a December game.
Especially a December game that's just remasters of a bunch of old arcade games.
Come on, NES games. Do they put the NES Tournament Fighter on there, where it's just like two buttons?
Oh, where it's like it's like fake Ninja Turtle Street Fighter.
I believe that was the only like one-on-one fighting game that ever hit the NES. I remember when that came out on the NES, my mind was blown. I'm like, it's like Street Fighter, but on any, and it was terrible.
Wait,
I can only pick through the turtles.
They also have the SNES, the SNES version. But
version's good.
I'm looking at this now, and the one I don't think I see is the original NES game. The super terrible NES
Konami's
game.
It's on there.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Okay, good.
Turtles in Time. Okay. Turtles in Time is my favorite arcade game ever.
It's so good.
Of all time. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
I love that one.
And it's got Pizza Power, the song that the Ninja Turtles sing about their love of pizza.
Mm.
Like, what's not to be appreciative of?
Right, right.
Well, hey, very Adam, good. Thank you for
thank you so much.
Games for coming on here.
Are you kidding me? Yourself. Guys, I mean this. I could do this every single day. So
all right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
New GameSpot freelancer, Adam Cole, baby.
No, for real, though. I love talking to you guys. I love getting the chance to talk games, especially for as long as we did. And I mean it. And I'm not just saying it, but seriously, hopefully we can do this again soon and anytime. I could talk games with you guys for hours and hours.
It's our new segment, Hanging with Adam Cole. We refuse to talk about wrestling.
Has he played Little Nemo yet?
Oh my god. Next time I have to show up prepared.
Oh, hey, welcome back. Thank you, Adam Cole. Thank you, AEW, for chit-chatting. Mainly, thank you. I mean, Adam Cole's just a great guy. I really like talking to him.
AEW Dynamite airs Wednesdays at 8 p.m., I believe, on yes. TBS.
Yes.
AEW Rampage airs Fridays at 10 p.m. on TNT, which is Dynamite. I know it's weird that Dynamite's on TBS now because it's always TNT Dynamite.
You know what? That's fine. That's
I don't like it.
Anyway, so I think I talked to you about this very briefly. We never fully discussed it. Originally, this was going to be the interview was going to be Adam Cole's not allowed to talk about wrestling. We're not allowed to talk about wrestling. And the idea that I had, I don't think I talked to you this now that I'm saying it out loud. Because when I was planning this with AEW, and this was before WrestleMania when we started talking about things, I wanted to have a button that you hit or that I would hit anytime wrestling was brought up that would stop them from talking about wrestling. Like an air, like a bwah, 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 really annoying air horn.
That sounds terrible. I'm glad.
Yeah, as you say, as I say it out loud, it's a bad idea.
I'm really glad that didn't happen.
Exactly. But here's the thing about ideas, Chris. Sometimes they're bad, and I'm okay admitting that I have tons of bad ideas.
Oh, I only have great ideas. That's weird. What's it like being you?
I don't know. I don't think you've ever really had a genuinely bad. There's been ideas that I've said no to, but I don't think anything's been really like bad. You know?
I mean, you've only known me a few years, Matt. 5 years. I've known you
5 years now.
In my heart, you've known me my entire life.
Our entire lives, we've swam together across the ocean of life.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the mm-hmm. lovers, the dreamers, and the wrestle buddies.
Anyways, I have folders upon folders of just bad writing ideas.
Wonderful.
I'm not joking. I write down every idea I come up with, and most of them are bad.
I write down a lot of ideas. I have a lot. Every once in a while, I go into the notes app in my phone and just look at the stuff I've written down that I feel. Let me look in there now, see if there's anything that'd be fun to share here. Watch Bad Trip on Netflix. That's all that one says.
That was a good one. I liked Bad Trip. Good Eric Andre stuff. I have a list of
what I think are the best lean cuisine meals.
Hey. Hey, Editor Matt here. The next couple of minutes, it's Chris just reading lists from his phone. These aren't ideas. These are just lists from his phone. So we're just going to cut that out. That chair is still making noise. Back to the show.
But yeah,
your notes are very different than mine. My notes are like, funny guy falls off building onto pillow fort. Pillow fort turns into bees.
July 27th. 2017. Hey, Chris, go to sleep now. It says, I don't know,
Chris.
Why.
These aren't real idea notes. This is not what I was.
Well,
referencing.
I have notes as well. Bit. I'm picking out the weird stuff.
Chris just writes down words. I was talking about fully fledged ideas that turn out to be bad. Some of them turn out to be good. Our friend SmackDown Hacker and Prediction Bot, two ideas that turned out to be good, but. Mm-hmm. The journey to get to at least one of them was very, very rough. I'll let you decide which character that was.
I have some stuff in here. I have a couple of podcast things in here that I'm still keeping under my hat.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great idea. By the way, if you have WWE 2K22, go into the creation search or community creations. Use the hashtags GameSpot and or WrestleBuddies. WrestleBuddies is one word. There you will find all of Chris and my creations.
I need to upload. I may or may not have uploaded Chris.
Upload Chris because you did. And I are tag champs right now.
Oh, that's right. Month. Okay. I uploaded Chris. He is wearing the Wrestle Buddies t-shirt that Matt and I both own. Mm-hmm. And because I know it is important to you, Wrestle Buddies Nation, the alternative attire is my Dark Order attire.
Perfect.
Join the Dark Order.
I have changed Thad Mudhoney completely. The
really?
Moveset's the same. Thad Mudhoney is now called King of RKO.
Why?
Because I didn't like Thad Mudhoney. I just gave him a little bit of change to make him a real character.
Wait, is he like a king now?
Yeah. The worst gimmick ever.
Oh, so he's just copying Lord Pumpernickel's gimmick.
It's copying every King of the Rings gimmick. And also, I made a character last night that I'll be uploading soon called the Human Arm Drag Machine. much like Taz the Suplex Machine. Oh, this person does only arm drags.
Oh, God.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.